As we draw near to you, God, that we have an absolute conviction and absolute confidence that you draw near to us. We thank you, God, that your word is alive, God, and it's powerful, Lord, and it's at work in and through us. And this morning, we thank you that we're not here for somebody's opinion or just somebody's thoughts, God, but we're here to connect with you. We're here to see your face, God. We're here to be transformed, to be more like you. So our desire, Lord, we just choose now, Lord. We choose to set aside, Lord, things that would distract us, things that would detract from what you want to do in us right now, Lord. And we choose to trust you with all those distractions, God. And we choose to open our hearts and open our eyes and open our minds to what you want to do in us this morning, God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Don, I might be on the... Am I on the monitor? Sorry. You take me off the monitor, and if there are, might be any effects, you can take those off as well. Can you guys hear me? No. I feel lots of... bass frequencies. Okay. Is it coming out of on the main? Sorry, guys.
It's very low.
Is it coming through there? No worries. Otherwise, put me back on the monitor just to make sure we get some tops. Great stuff. So, all right. So, I'm going to read Psalms. So I'm going to start with Psalm 63. And just a bit of context here. David has gone from being like the loser in the house, the youngest brother, the least in the house, you know, nobody notices him, he's out in the field watching the sheep, which is not a bad job, but, you know, not the best one either. And then what happens is suddenly his life completely changes. Because the prophet Samuel comes around and he was anointing, he wants to anoint the next king, and suddenly David gets called, and it ends up to be David. David, the young boy, gets anointed. Suddenly he realizes, well, God is doing something. Next thing that happens, he faces Goliath, and from being this, you know, quiet, get the guy out in the field, suddenly he gets thrust into the public sphere. He's the hero for the moment. Everybody knows who he is. He's taken down Goliath. And if I was David, I would probably be thinking, this is it. God has finally noticed me here in the field. And now, just put on your seatbelt, because this is going to be amazing. I'm going for God now for what he has prepared for me. But then something crazy happens. Saul, you know, goes all but mad, and he starts to persecute David. He physically wants to kill him, right? So David is on the run. So instead of being like the man for the hour, he's now the fugitive on the most wanted list. He's like, it's one thing if your neighbor is not happy with you, but if the king of the country wants to kill you, it's not blessed, okay? So he's running for his life. He's hiding away in caves. He's fearing for his life, and he's basically a fugitive, just surviving in the out there, living in caves and in the mountains. And so this is the context, right? This is David out there just making it, surviving. And I just want to read this. This is so, what I want to demonstrate here is this, where the heart of David is at this place. Okay, it's not comfortable, physically not comfortable, spiritually not comfortable, can't go and pray in the temple and stuff. And the king wants to kill him, right? So just keep that in mind. Let's read from Psalm 63. O God, you are my God. I earnestly search for you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you in this parched and weary land where there's no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and gazed upon your power and glory. Your unfailing love is better than life itself. How I praise you. I will praise you as long as I live, lifting up my hands to you in prayer. You satisfy me more than the richest feast. I will praise you with songs of joy. I lie awake thinking of you, meditating on you through the night, because you are my helper. I sing for joy in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your strong right hand holds me securely. that those plotting to destroy me will come to ruin. And such a powerful picture of the heart of David for God, and how even in this crazy time, he finds his absolute peace and strength and joy in God. Can you see that? So we're going to look at a couple of these points, just where his heart is at. And I just feel there's something specific that God wants to leave with us in terms of how we relate to him also. Now, one of the things he says there, he says, my soul thirsts for you, my whole body longs for you. And to be honest with you, when I was saved, this was not the case. Okay, let's just be straight here. You know, the scripture says all things have become new. Okay, I was at one stage thinking, how is this possible? Because I'm saved now, but all things are not new. There's still some things that are a battle, and. And to be honest, at that stage, it was not really, and maybe it's a bit better now, but it's when he says, my whole body longs for you. I said, no, my spirit, yes, but the body wants to do other stuff, you know. The soul is all over the place, emotions, intellect. Those things are not normally the ones that are choosing God all the time. And here we get to an interesting thing, which is how we are put together. And we are said to be created in the image of God. Okay, so that's good news. But the key there is that God is spirit. Okay, so we are created as spirit beings primarily. And this is one of the major changes that happens when we are born again, is that we come from having a more soulish body, you know, natural experience, to a place where we actually realize, we've been created as spiritual beings, to spiritual beings, eternal spiritual beings, that have a temporary physical experience, body experience, which will pass away, right? This body is not getting better, okay? It's getting worse. And until we see Christ and we are redeemed and we were glorified and have a glorified body, this body is going to keep on getting better, getting worse. Okay, so this is the temporary thing, but our spirits were primarily spirit. It's one of the that's one of the things that just strikes me every time I see a small baby, like we did again this morning, or we see somebody that's expecting a baby. The fact and the revelation that little being will exist in eternity is just amazing for me. Okay. Anyway, so how did I get there? Anyway, so we are. Let's quickly look at what Paul writes here in Thessalonians. He says, "Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again." And so here we see that we are not only soul and body. But actually, we are spirit as well. And specifically, when we are born again, we are primarily spirit beings. Okay. But we notice that there's a tension, because the spirit is brand new. The spirit is born again. The spirit wants to do the will of God. And the spirit is made like God. So that's a great start, right? We've been given everything pertaining to life and godliness. And like that little baby, that baby is absolutely perfect. Has everything that baby needs for life. It's not like in a few years' time they're going to have a couple more fingers, and then when it starts to run around, get a couple more toes just for the running bit. No, everything's there. Everything is ready. Obviously, there's some growing that needs to happen. The same spiritually. Everything is there. We've been given everything pertaining to life and godliness, and we grow in that. And we mature in that, but the potential is all there. And let's quickly look at Romans 7. Paul writes of this tension between the spirit being new at the body and the soul still being the old body and the soul. Okay, so there's a process of sanctification that happens. But when we're born again, the spirit is brand new. The body and the soul is kind of having to catch up a bit. So Paul says, so I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, a spirit being, but I see in my members and my body another law waging war against the law of my mind, which there actually refers to more the inner being, the spirit being, and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members and my body. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Body of death, okay, problems there. And then he says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's how we are delivered. And so he speaks of this tension. If you're going to go read a bit before that, it talks about this. I know what I need to do, but I don't do that. I do something else, and I actually want to do the right thing, but I end up doing the wrong thing, and it sounds very confusing. But you know what he's talking about, because we're experiencing that same tension. Or is it just me? To you, so okay. Amen. So I know you guys are really holy, but this is something I struggle with. So just keep, just bear with me. So there's still this tension between what the spirit wants to do, knows to do, and the body and the soul that don't want to do that stuff. Okay. And the key, one of the keys for me this morning is that we understand the interaction there, and that that we get to get the order right. Okay. And okay, so. So I'm just going to give you a scenario, and then to you see how these three interact with one another. But actually, let's quickly read the next scripture, then that'll make more sense as well. So I'm quickly going to read again from David, and how he, and this is in a place where he was in a place of repentance because he sinned against God. Okay, so he says, as a deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I go and stand before him? Day and night, I have only tears for food while my enemies continue to taunt me, saying, where is this God of yours? My heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. I walked among the crowds of worshippers, leading a great procession to the house of God, singing for joy, giving thanks amid the sounds of celebration. Now, this is the one I'm pointing out to you. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. In the New King James translation, it says, he speaks to his soul, basically. He says, oh, my soul, why are you cast down within me? And then he actually addresses his soul and says, hope in God. He commands his soul, hope in God. I will yet praise him, and my Savior and my God. And this is absolutely key, is where we come to a place where we recognize, I'm a spirit being. My spirit must be in charge. My spirit must lead. Spirit is king, soul is servant, and body is slave. Okay. If it gets mixed up, we've got problems. Okay, so where the spirit actually tells the soul, listen, I see this is you're not in a good space now, but hope in God. Okay, we're going to look at that a bit more later on. I want to just make it quickly a bit of a demonstration. I need two volunteers. Okay, I must start to pick. Okay, yeah, Asanga, okay, yeah, good. This side. And Ellie, yeah, okay, cool. Great, thanks, Ellie. Okay, so we're going to move to this side for a moment because there's no space that side. So you're going to be... Okay, now you can... Yeah, please come this... You can be this side. Stand this side. Thank you. And Ellie, this side. Okay, Ellie, I'm so sorry, but for this exercise, you're the flesh, brother. Okay? Can everybody see? Is it a bit dodgy angle? Can you see? All right, so maybe make a bit this side. Okay, so Ellie is the flesh. I'm, for this exercise, the soul, and you get to be the spirit. Okay. You're the good guy. So stand aside. Okay, so now, imagine we are in three rooms, okay? And there's a door between each. There's a door here, and there's a door here. And now what we call, what this happens, what we call our soul is out of peace. Now that happens by various things. So either somebody steps on my toe in the tube, and they don't apologize, and I feel like this is, these are brand new shoes. I'm like, man. Something as silly as that, or like what happened with us the other day, we didn't sleep for 2 weeks. Okay, so something like that makes you not feel good. Your body is tired, your soul has problems, and you don't feel, you're not in a happy place. Okay, you're not in a happy place. And then you don't want to be there. You want to be happy in a happy place, right? So you want to be, so, or somebody offends you, or somebody rejects you, or worse even, something, you know, you traumatized by something. Something makes that you're not in a good space. You hurt, you're experiencing pain of some sort, emotional pain, and you want to be better. Okay, are you with me? And so then we have a decision to make. Now, the soul is not in a good space. The soul then, the default setting for the soul is to open this door and to house it to the flesh and say, please, we must make a plan because this is hurting and I want to feel better. Okay? And then we get up to all kinds of nonsense because the body thing says, you know what, you're right, let's make a plan. So some of us go and buy 3 slabs of chocolate and we just down it and we feel what? And we get a sugar high and for half an hour we feel better. Or some of us go, it's not only that. Some of us go to the gym or we go and run for 3 hours and we, this is what Ellie, no, I'm just joking. But some of us go, it's different extremes. But the point is we go to somewhere in the flesh that we feel, if I do this, I'm going to be better. This hurt is going to go away. I'm going to feel okay, and the pain is going to be better. Okay, you don't know that because I know you got all very holy, but sometimes this is what I experience. All right, so the challenge is that we must change the default setting to this side, that I open this door, and I recognize that the only way that I can truly be fulfilled, the only way that I can restore my soul to peace, is by walking in the Spirit and allowing God to restore peace to my soul. Allowing Holy Spirit to bring peace to my soul. Allowing God to be my source, my comforter. All those things that David says, my strong tower, my fortress, my strength, my deliverer. Are you with me? So that is the tension we're talking about. And imagine for a moment this door, lots of imagining. I should have drawn a picture. All right, so this door has a door handle, and this door has one, and there's a rope that connects the two. It's technical now, but it means that when when I open that door, it opens that way. When I open that door, this door gets shut. It pulls it closed. The more I go into the flesh, the more difficult it is to connect with the Spirit. But the other side is also true. The more I go into the Spirit, open this door, that door gets shut, and the easier it is for me to be strong in the Spirit when I'm putting the flesh in its place. Okay, great. You guys were brilliant, eh? Well done. Just give him a hand. This is awesome. I think you noticed we did practice beforehand. Just kidding. Okay, so I'm going to refer to that quite a bit, so you need to remember that picture. So, the default setting is to say, okay, I feel out of peace, I feel unhappy about something, I feel rejected, I feel unloved, I feel... I'm not good in a good space, and I want to be better. And I want to go to the flesh to make it better, okay? And now, when the Scripture often talks about walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, you know, and sow into the Spirit and not in the flesh, and a lot of things like that, we often think, what does it mean? How does it work? And that's a lot of that kind of thing we deal with at the Liberty Seminar, and it was really great the other day just to wrestle through those things again. I want to really encourage you. That's kind of what sparked this. If you haven't been able to, please make an effort to get to the Liberty Seminar. It's going to bless you a lot. Okay. So I've identified a couple of keys for us to stay in a place where our spirit is in charge and our spirit is taking the lead, because I think, and the reality is for everybody here, the default is the soul and the flesh, okay? So let's not pretend it's not like that. But the reality is that as we're being sanctified, we need to walk more and more in a place where the Spirit takes the lead and the Spirit is in charge. The Spirit dictates what would happen. So even in David's case, where the Spirit says to the soul, hope in God. I'll just quickly look at this next scripture and give some light on that. Hebrews 6:19. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. Jesus has already gone in there for us. He has become our eternal high priest in the order of Melchizedek. powerful picture here. The soul, guys, is not reliable to lead. The flesh is worse. Okay. The soul has got intellect and emotions and all that stuff happening. Emotions specifically, they're not reliable. Even for men, I know this is terrible confession I'm making here today, but even for men, the soul is not reliable because it's all over. It can be doing great the one day and can be terrible the next day. And that's such a great picture for me, this, because it speaks of this. It's as if the soul is like on this stormy water, stormy ocean, and his soul needs to be anchored in hope and anchored in Christ. Otherwise, it's all over the place. So if we allow the soul to be unanchored and in charge, guess what? Our lives are going to be very hectic and up and down and crazy busy and not spirit-led. But if our soul is anchored in hope and our spirit is calling the shots and leading and in charge, we're going to experience the peace that God has for us. And this is where it makes more sense that even though you go through a very difficult situation, you can still experience peace. Even though everything around you is going all out of sorts and everything is uncomfortable in the flesh, that because if you're operating in the Spirit, you can still experience peace in Christ. Okay. Now, that's part of the reason why we fast, guys, is that we joke about it. We say the flesh must die. You know, and what we're talking about is that the flesh must be put in its place so that I can be strong in the Spirit. When we did that intercession tour around South Africa cycling, it was like a fast because the body daily was suffering and hurting and in pain. But when we were in intercession at that time, praying for the nation, we could connect with the Spirit easy because the body was not in charge. Okay, the body was in its place. But when the body is in charge, and you know what, today we're just going to sleep, or we're just going to eat. Guess what? It sounds amazing, but that's not fruitful, okay? And although it's good for like a short period, that's most of the, you know, soul and body ideas are good for a very short period, and then after that, they're not good. So even those three slabs, three chocolate bars or whatever, they're good for a short period, but after that there's all kinds of bad repercussions. Okay, let's continue. So we need this anchor for the soul, and we're working towards a place where even when the soul is way out of peace and in a terrible place of turmoil, that we can actually say to your soul, okay. Chill now. The nerd's tough now. It's rough now. You want to kick something or punch something. But hope in God, and then choose to walk in the Spirit. Choose to open that door, and choose to find your peace in God, and you'll find your deliverance in Him. Okay. So I'm looking quickly at these three keys. 2 Corinthians 10. For though we walk in the flesh, from verse 3 to 5, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Okay, so this is the first key, is recognizing when the thought is not from God and taking it captive. Okay, it sounds simple, but this, I believe, is a crucial part for us. And I found this to be a key in my life. Now, if I'm a place where I'm vulnerable, it's not even something, you don't have to be vulnerable, but it's worse when your soul is not in a good space. And the thought comes in. Now, that's where the scripture speaks of fiery darts, like flaming arrows. Like, someone's a very visual person, okay? So I like archery, so I can just imagine the enemy drawing his bow and shooting this arrow, and the arrow is like flaming. It's one of those flaming arrows. Are you with me? It's not going to be blessed when it arrives at a destination, right? So this arrow is coming, and it's heading for you, and he wants to impact you with some thought, whether it be something to do. It often, when he sees you're not in a good space, He targets us, and he knows what our weaknesses are. So if he knows I'm struggling with anger, and it's normally sparked because I've got some wrestle with rejection or something, then guess what? He's going to target that. So the picture I have is this, he's sending these thoughts into my mind, and if I have to lift the shield of faith, the scripture says, to quench those fiery darts, right? And take every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. So, this is the first key, guys. If we capture that thought there, it's good news. But if we don't, there's problems. Okay, scripture speaks of that thing becoming an argument. I know this never happens to you, but sometimes I have these arguments in my head. All right? I have to see a song on later. He's going to help me. But I think most of us have these battles in our minds, right? Most of us have these battles, and it's the enemy giving us lies, and we have to distinguish, you know what, this is not from God, and we have to distinguish what is the truth and what is the lie. But there's an argument going on. If we allow that thought to linger there, it will become an argument, it will become a high thing, it will become a stronghold. And when you find yourself again, you're believing something that's not true. You're convinced of something, the devil has convinced you of something that's completely not true. For instance, you're worth nothing. Nobody loves you. God actually doesn't love you either. You know, he's got tolerance for everybody else, but because of that thing in your past, he can't accept you. And you find yourself again, that stuff is milling around in your head and you believe it. Okay? That's just one example. It can be on many different levels. So the key is that as that thing comes in for us to recognize, this is from the pit. This is from the pit of hell. This is not God talking to me. Amen? And to say, I'm going to take this thing captive right here because I don't want it to go down that path again. Now, what normally happens is there's a pathway. So now the soul is out of peace. I'm feeling rejected. I'm feeling hurt. And for instance, say, take this example. Say, for instance, I struggle with anger. You know, when I'm out of peace, I want to kick something or punch a wall or something, and then I feel better. Okay? Maybe because there's adrenaline involved and stuff like that. I think, yeah, in this country, some places you can actually punch holes in walls, right? Mostly where I come from, you can't do that. You normally come second when you punch a wall. It's like bricks and things, okay? I think this one, the outer walls, you've got problems. Okay, so for instance, take this example. Say, for instance, I'm struggling with rejection, and when I feel rejected, I'm angry. And I want to do something so I can feel better, okay? I know you guys don't have this problem. But then I go and I punch a wall or a door or something, and there's a bit of adrenaline, and I feel better. But the problem with that is that if I feel better for a moment, I think next time, you know what, that worked. And before you know it, there's a neural pathway that's established in your mind, and that's just a physical thing. Okay, you must correct me if I'm wrong. Okay, and there's negative habits form where I feel better for a moment, so I'm going to go do that again and again. And when you look again, you've established a behavioral pattern that causes you to walk in the flesh, and it just makes it worse. Okay, so the key is to we get to Romans 12 here, from 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, be by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And this key here is being transformed by the renewing of our mind. That part of that means is when we change those behavioral patterns to... When I take that thought captive, now I realize in the past I used to go and punch a wall or kick the dog. Oh, no, not the dog. Or do something wrong or go into the flesh or, you know, all kinds of things. Or go and sin, you know, just to feel better for a moment. Go and, you know, eat a lot, or some people go onto the internet and watch dodgy things, or go onto social media for 5 hours because I'm going to feel less lonely. Okay? Maybe you know somebody out there that does that, all right? So the part of the renewal of the mind process is to say, you know what, this, I recognize this is not of God. I take it captive, and I change, I choose now to go to Spirit. But I have to be very deliberate with it, because that side is so ingrained, that default setting is so ingrained, that I have to be very deliberate to choose to go into the Spirit. Okay, let's continue. It'll make more sense as we go. Okay. As this happens, I found a key for me is praying in the Spirit. Okay, Jude 20 and 21. But you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Praying in the Holy Spirit, praying in tongues, builds up our faith, builds up our spirit. I find this, guys, daily. If I'm feeling like this is not, something's not good, or I'm feeling these thoughts I have to wrestle with, then I pray in the Spirit. Even when I'm struggling to hear the voice of God, or whatever the situation, when I know I must focus now, when I know I must discern now, I pray in the Spirit. Because it exercises my spirit, and I get strength in the Spirit. When I'm praying in the Spirit, it's easy for me to choose well. Are you with me? When I'm filling my spirit, when I'm exercising my spirit, it's easy for me to choose life. It's much easier, okay? when I'm praying in the Spirit, I'm building up myself, I'm building up my faith, and then it's easy for me to hear God's voice. When I'm not in faith, when I'm in fear or in the flesh, I struggle to hear God. Are you with me still? Okay. Right, so in this with 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18, another key here. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. All right, two keys here. Continuing with the prayer one, he says here, pray without ceasing. Now, this is a little odd if you try this in English or in your language, because at your workplace, there are times when it would be uncomfortable if you were praying out loud all the time. You with me? Have you found that in the middle of a meeting, it's difficult to pray without ceasing? No, you find that. Okay. So the only way this is possible is when we do it praying in the Spirit, because that's possible to do under your breath without engaging your mind necessarily. Okay. And I found this in the car, in the shower, wherever, try to make it a habit to pray in the Spirit as much as possible. I'm going to really encourage you guys. If this is something that is not a habit in your life, if it's something that's foreign to you, something that sounds a bit dodgy, please talk to me afterwards. When I got saved, I didn't even know there's a Holy Spirit. Okay, so, but this has been an absolute key in my life. When the enemy comes for me, I recognize him. I say, whoa. I take a thought captive and I pray in the Spirit. When I'm on my own in the car, for instance, I go loud. Eh? And the demons run. But no, it's really a powerful place of building your faith, okay? And then the key with that, the next key is the thanksgiving part. The power of gratitude, the power of thanksgiving, the power of continually being grateful for what God is doing and what God has done in your life. And let me say this, if you're in a place of turmoil, and you're like David, in a place of, everything, he's being hunted down and people want to kill him, things are not going well. If he's able to look and see the goodness of God in his life, he's going to be in a much better place for him to operate in the Spirit. I mean, so when I'm continually giving thanks, when I'm continually grateful, when I'm continually notice and recognize the goodness of God in my life, that's what I'm going to see. And that's what I'm going to expect. And that's when that will change the way I pray. That will change the way I see my situation, because I see my challenge and my problem and this guy that wants to kill me, in David's case, in relation to the goodness of God in my life and how great God is in my life. And I just realize, wow, I can see now an eternal perspective. God is massive, huge, great, awesome, and this is actually small, and it's not so significant after all. But when I'm in it and I go in the flesh, you go onto that bad station. You guys don't do this, but you feel sorry for yourself and you're like, this is never going to end. This child is never going to sleep. you wonder, 3 weeks down, you know, this feels like this is going to go on until they're 32 and hopefully out of the house. So, but when you're in that place and you have to remind yourself of the goodness of God, and if that is already a lifestyle, it makes it so much easier to see His goodness and to expect it and to receive it. Are you with me? And then along with this, which is absolutely critical, is to confess the truth in the situation. So if the enemy comes with a lie of you're worthless or nobody likes you or God doesn't like you either, then you need to be there ready with the truth of Scripture. No, you know what? That's rubbish, because I'm accepted in the Beloved. In Christ, I'm a co-heir with Christ. God has paid the highest price for me. He values me. He's given so much in for my life that I can have life. He's given everything. You know, so to be, and that's why it's so critical for us to have that word in us, that when the enemy comes, or when we're in a difficult spot, we can actually say, no, you know what, this is not the truth. This is who God is in my life. And this is the reality of the situation. If the enemy comes at you with fear or with panic or whatever, with anxiety, then you meditate on the scripture that speaks of the power of God as our deliverer or our healer or our savior, that he's with us. You know, but confessing the truth and giving thanks, they go together, giving thanks for that thing is true in your life, that promise is true in life, giving thanks for the fact that God has never left me. He's right here with me in this tough spot. I give thanks for that. I give thanks for the fact that He is my salvation. That right now, in this difficult spot like David, you know, the guys want to kill me. He is my fortress and my deliverer. He is my healer. He is my strong tower. Okay? Have a look at Psalm 18. Actually, if you can find it for me there, I'm going to read some more of it. This is David. Now, this is after he's been delivered, right? But I want to quickly read it for us. It's a bit long, but just see how David sees God responding to his cry for help, guys. This is like epic Hollywood movie stuff. This is him imagining God coming to his rescue. Not imagining, but this is the picture he has, and this is how he gives thanks to God for delivering him. Okay, I love you. I'm going to read from the NIV. Okay. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I am saved from my enemies. Okay, now here it comes. The cords of death entangled me, and the torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. Okay, now this is as he sees God responding. The earth trembled and quaked, and the foundations of the mountain shook. They trembled because he was angry. Smoke rose from his nostrils, consuming fire from his mouth. Burning coals blazed out of it. He parted the heavens and came down. Dark clouds were under his feet. He mounted the cherubim and flew. He soared on the wings of the wind. He made darkness his covering, his canopy around him. He dark rain clouds of the sky. Out of the brightness of his presence, clouds advanced with hailstones and bolts of lightning. The Lord thundered from heaven. The voice of the Most High resounded. He shot his arrows and scattered the enemies. Great bolts of lightning rooted them. Rather than the valleys of the seas were exposed, and the foundations of the earth laid bare at your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils. Can you see this? Yeah, he has got such an expectation and such a revelation of God responding to his plea. He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster. But the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. another translation is the wide place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. It goes on. Guy's going to read it. But how powerful is this confession of who God is? In that moment where you're feeling out of sorts, in that moment when you feel depressed or heavy and you want to go into the flesh, you need to have this in you. Say, God, this is the truth. You are my strength. You are my rock. You are my fortress. You are my deliverer. God, if everything else passes away, I only need you. Abram makes this confession and says, God, you are my shield. You are my exceedingly great reward. I don't need anything besides you. The power of that confession in that place of desperation is nothing like that. Where you say to your soul, okay, soul, I know you're going to freak out now, but this is the truth. God is my deliverer. He is my source of life. He is my strength. There's no other source of life but Him. There's no other deliverer. There's no other Savior. He's the one that's going to bring my soul into peace. He's the one that will deliver me, guys. And that's when you can experience the peace of His presence, because that, as you confess the truth, is your soul will return back to peace. Amen. Even though the circumstances haven't changed, you can face them. Even like those guys, like Daniel's friends, that were thrown into the fire. Okay, can you imagine this? They're going to be killed now, right? The fire is ready. The guys making the fire hotter, they die. So this is not looking good. So if I was them, I would think, okay, the Lord's going to send a tsunami. Going to wash this thing right away. Kill this fire. Massive cloud burst right over this furnace and we're sorted, you know. No. This doesn't happen like that. Okay, well, I don't know about you. I always scheme. How's the Lord going to help me? They get chucked into the fire. But He's right there. And before they get thrown in, how's this? They say to the king, "I say, you know what? God is able to deliver us. And you know, you can say what you want. We won't bow before other gods because our God will deliver us. And even if He chooses for some reason not to do that, that's also fine. We will still not worship anybody else. That's His choice, but He is able to." Amen. And then sometimes He takes us in the fire, but He's right there. And the circumstances are still the same. People are dying around the fire. It's not good. Okay, it's a bad spot. But Christ is there with Him, the fourth man. He's there in the worst place. He's right there. He's the deliverer. He's the Savior. Okay. We're going to close. But the key I want us to grasp this morning is, firstly, am I choosing to walk in the Spirit? Is my spirit calling the shots? Is my spirit in charge? Or am I going to the default setting? And if there are cycles like that in my life where I have to go and do this to feel better, I just know if I do this and this, if I have that third cup of coffee in the morning, then I'm ready to go. I also drink coffee in the morning. But if I know, that's why it's good to fast, guys, because you recognize, this headache I've had for 3 days now, because I'm not having any caffeine. It's good to fast because then, you know, we put our body in place and the order is returned. Amen. And it's good, and that the soul has to be anchored in hope. Otherwise, it's all over the place. Okay, so the three keys is take those thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. Renew your mind. Change those neural pathways so that when this thought comes in, you turn it around in terms of, you know, confessing the Scripture, you know, speaking the truth, and then changing the behavioral pattern too. When that, you know, I always think of this. Now, the enemy, say, before I struggled with this anger thing, so I've got lots of holes in my walls at home. You can come check, they're all intact. But imagine this. Say, for instance, I'm struggling with this anger thing, and the enemy knows if I'm vulnerable, he throws this at me, and I'm going to get angry, and I'm going to sin, right? Now I'm renewing my mind. I'm trusting by the grace of God. I'm going to change this thing. Now imagine his surprise when he throws that same arrow in and this guy comes out worshiping God, praising him, going, sharing the gospel. And he's like, no, it's not what I want. That's not, wait. I just, anyway, be visual. So, you know, just turn that thing right around. If you could stand with me this morning. This afternoon, we're going to close. So, take the thought captive. Keep praying. And if this is something that's not a habit, guys, I'll take boldness and ask somebody to pray with you, to be filled with the Spirit, and to be able to pray in tongues. I know this is, for some of us, it's weird and it's awkward and it's dodgy and we don't know what it is and it's we're afraid because we don't know what it is. But I want to encourage you. It's changed my life. It's just brought such a dramatic change in my life when I allowed Holy Spirit to fill me and He filled me to overflowing to a point where I can experience an abundance of life. And I want to challenge you that is probably, besides being saved and baptized, that is one of the things that has had the most dramatic impact on my relationship with God and my spiritual growth. Okay. So if it's not if you are able to pray in the Spirit and it's not a habit, pray with somebody today. Say, I want to grow. I want to start with 1 minute a day, and then make it two, and then maybe it'll be half an hour in a month's time. But pray in the Spirit. Amen. And then confess the truth of Scripture and walk in thanksgiving. And the amazing thing, guys, is when we're walking like this, when we're in the Spirit, it's not only a blessing to you, it's a blessing to everybody around you, because it becomes a fountain of living water. When I'm in the flesh, it's a blessing to nobody. Can you tell you that? It's a blessing for 30 seconds, it seems, and then it goes bad. But when I'm in the Spirit, let's look at this. John 7:37. Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me." So he's our source. Come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the Scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit. Rivers of living water. Blessing, bringing life to all around, bringing peace, bringing the love of God. Such a beautiful picture, those fountains. Now, when you're in a bad spot, it's like it's all dry and you're like scraping the bottom of the barrel and there's nothing there and you want to go to the flesh and it just gets worse. But when you're plugged into the Spirit, there's a fountain of life. It doesn't stop. Have you seen a fountain? A real one. It's amazing. It just comes. Nobody's pumping it. And there's no artificial pressure. It just comes, and it's amazing to see. That's how the water, the source of life works when Christ is in us, when His Holy Spirit is that fountain of water in us. Let's close our eyes. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for your word this morning, Lord. We thank you that, Lord, we acknowledge, God. Often we choose the default, God. Often we just go the easy way, God, and we try to find comfort, we try to find strength, we try to find healing in the flesh, God, and many other things, God. And this morning we repent of that in Jesus' name. We repent, God, of choosing other things, God. We repent of putting other things above you. We repent of finding our comfort or trying to find comfort in other things, God. And we declare this morning, full of faith, God, we declare, you are my source, God. You are my deliverer. You are my healer, God. Thank you that you love me. Thank you that you save me. Thank you that you heal me. Thank you that you deliver me. I believe, Lord, that you love me. And as I pray, I want you to just agree with me in your heart that this is for you as well. Actually, I want you to just pray with me aloud. I'm just... From this Psalm of 18. If you want to read this with me, okay. 1, 2, 3. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Father, this is our confession, God. There's no one else, God, that can fulfill us, God. There's no one else that can restore us. There's no one else that can heal us. There's no one else, God, that can really relate to what we're going through, God. You have endured the most ridiculous suffering, Father. You have endured the most extreme torture, God, and temptation. You are the only one, Lord Jesus, that can really relate to each one of us and whatever we're going through, the deepest pits of depression and fear and the deepest, darkest shadow, the valley of the shadow of death. You are able to relate, God. And I thank you, God, that we can have this absolute confidence, as Scripture says, that we have this hope because you have torn the veil, God. We can enter your presence boldly, and Christ has gone in there before us, and He is making a decision for us. I just feel that's a word here for somebody, a reminder that right now and every moment, Christ, the Savior of the world, the Creator, He was there with creation, and He is now sitting on high at the right hand of the Father, but He is right now making intercession for you. Right now, He's standing in the gap for you. Right now, the Savior, the Lord of hosts, the name above every name, that one, Jesus Christ, is making intercession for you. He is pleading for you with the Father. He is fighting your corner, and He is he's fighting for you, and He's defending you even against the enemy. Right now. God, we thank you for the truth, God. We thank you that you are our source of salvation. You are our source of strength and hope. There's nothing outside of you. And we, right now, we acknowledge and we speak to our souls, soul, hope in God. For I will yet praise Him. It might go tough now. It might be rough situations ahead or behind. But I command you, soul, you will hope in God, because there's no other place to go. There's no other place of life. There's no other source of real life. There's no other source of living water. Hope in God. And we choose, God, we humble ourselves, God, to receive your grace. God, that we would walk in the Spirit, God, not in the flesh, God. And this morning I thank you, God, for rivers of living water to spring up out of many lives, God. Rivers that might have been blocked up, fountains that might have been blocked up, to right now be cleared and open up in Jesus' name. That every fear will be removed in Jesus' name. We command fear to desist now, to be removed. That the love of God drives out fear now in the hearts of people right now in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for as the blockages of fear are removed, as anxiety is removed, Lord, as so many things are removed, thank you for a fresh flow of living water, God, by your Spirit in Jesus' name. Thank you for a place of refreshing in your presence right now, God, in Jesus' name. Just while every eyes closed and you just stand who you are, if you're here this morning and you don't understand what I'm on about hearing God's voice and being saved and your spirit being reborn, if you have not experienced the place of rebirth where you accept the gift of salvation and you bow before God as and before Christ as Savior and King, and you know something is not right with your relationship with God, you don't know God in that way, then right now I want to give you an opportunity. If you know you need that, you need to respond to His call, and you need to respond and receive that gift. If that's you this morning, I want to give you that opportunity while every eye is closed. If you're that person this morning, if you want to raise your hand, I want to pray with you. Is there anybody like that? Okay. So Father, we thank you, God, that you are our salvation, and you are our healer and our deliverer and our Savior. And then just also what I want to pray for, Lord, is right now, don't worry about the person next to you, but if you know, you must make a shift. You've been walking in cycles, and there's been cycles of destruction in your life, and you've made the mistake most of us are making, But you know today you want to choose to walk in the Spirit. You want to choose to confess Christ as your Savior and your Deliverer. To, in that moment of desperation, you want to speak the truth. And if you know you want to make a shift, you know there's maybe some habits or some places that you find comfort. I want to give you an opportunity to take a bold step and to say, God, today I choose life. I choose to look to you. I choose, God, to walk in the Spirit. I choose for my Spirit to be in charge. And I want to ask you, I know it's a bold step, but I want you to come to the front just to say to God, Lord, I choose to make a shift in this area. I want to live in this. I want to walk in the Spirit. I want to not walk in the flesh. And I want to confess that you are my source and nothing else. I find my strength in no other place. So I wanted just to do like a prophetic response and act and to come forward for prayer and to basically declare that God is my source. If that's you this morning, I want you to come to the front. We're going to pray with you. Amen. It's a bold step, but you're basically declaring to God, Lord, you are my source. Stuff. Thanks, guys. Maybe come to this side. Small space here. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. I want just to, if you can just follow me in a prayer for a moment. Okay. Lord Jesus, thank you for your love for me, God. Thank you that that love is what sent Christ to the cross and demonstrated your love for me, God. And today I receive it. I receive the truth that you accept me and you love me and you are my source of life itself. And outside of you, God, there is no life. I choose now, Lord, to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. I choose, God, to receive your provision, your way of escape that you have for me in every moment. I thank you, God, for rivers of living water flow from my innermost being. Fill me, Lord, with your peace. Fill me with your presence. Fill me with your Spirit, God, to overflowing in the name of Jesus. And let these rivers flow, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Anyway, we're going to close now. If you need any prayer, we're going to just pray these guys for a moment. If you have any other prayer need, please join us in the front. Otherwise, have some refreshments next door. Thanks for your patience this morning. We've gone a bit over. But thanks for being here. If you have any other prayer need, even if there's sickness in your body or whatever the case may be, God is a way for you. He's made a way. Amen. So please join us in the front. We'd love to pray with you. God bless you. Go in peace and go with an expectation of God's goodness. Amen. And we'll see you not next week, right? Next week, not here. Okay. You're welcome. If you come here, you will be disappointed. But if you join us in Weybridge, which is not that far down the A3, a little bit earlier, 9:30. It's going to be great fun there, okay? So please join us. And if anybody that's available on the 20th, I know this is new, but on the 20th there's a Christmas lunch on Jesus packing happening for the meals that are going to take into the poorest families in the borough. If you're available on the 20th, come chat to me afterwards and we're going to organize that. It's taking meal hampers to the poorest families in the borough for a Christmas lunch, okay? So we need people to help us pack. 20th. Okay. God bless you. If you need prayer, come to the front. God bless you.